Blog Talk Radio.
Greek word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read
my name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints. Blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still trying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power, I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, soldiers the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the cummings, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster, come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty, but up north they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me, but to the wicked I ain't worth
a penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky, or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival, I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols, ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time, I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Layalat Tawab, which means good night or good evening in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your brother, your host, your friend, as always, Prophet Paul. I'm joined this evening by Hansadaya in the building, y'all.
Sure.
Know y'all happy about that. I ain't got to listen to me butcher articles up, right? Hope everybody is healthy. Hope everybody's in good spirits, man. Hope everybody had a good Shabbat. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show. Excuse me, I'm trying to still get set up a little bit, get comfortable here. Got a lot going on, as always. I want to send shouts out to our affiliated schools. The brothers here in San Antonio, Texas, led by the Brother of War. The brothers down in H-Town, led by the Brother Quatazat. The brothers up in VA, led by the brother Kazakia. The brothers in Rochester, New York, led by the brother Zion Nala. And shouts out to the brother Aish and the crew out in Albuquerque. Also shouts out to our brothers and sisters that are out in California, Canada, Atlanta, and shouts out to Kawakab down in Guatemala. And shouts out to the 12 tribes that are scattered worldwide, y'all. So welcome to the show, Blog Talk Radio. The title of the show is actually Bible Talk, which Mashaba started umpteen years ago. We've been rolling with it ever since. So if it's first time tuning into the show, we are definitely the people of the book, the Israelites. Yes, we've proven this time and time again. We hang our hat on proving this because the Bible says to prove all things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, which we do. And our attempts here at Bible Talk is to get not just our people, but everybody worldwide to start looking at the Bible, examining the Bible, studying the Bible, edifying the Bible as the history book that it is, rather than the religious book, because the Most High never gave religion. What he did give was a set of instructions for a particular people, which he calls a peculiar people, those being the children of Israel, the ancestors of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave them this instruction manual to follow throughout the duration of their lives and forever, from generation to generation. It says to 1,000 generations in the book of Psalms. But he gave us this book to live by, and in this book contains our struggles, our strifes, as well as our downfalls and captivities for not adhering to this instruction manual. So that's what we stand on here at Bible Talk, like the youngsters say this day, standing on business. We standing on our father's business. Or business. Let me say it more correctly. Business. So if your first time tuning into the show, we do about an hour of news, current events, or a top-of-pie soapbox. Don't have too much of that today, but definitely got oodles and oodles of this class, man. I hope y'all are going to enjoy, bring out a lot of edification this evening. But before we get into the class, let me go ahead and get our scriptures off real quick that we always do. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this is the prayer we need to be sending up on a daily, y'all, so we can get the hell on, y'all. Get up out of this place. Now let's get Psalms chapter 118 and verse 24, please, ma'am.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Good or bad, happy or sad, the Most High brought you to it. He'll bring you through it, and you'll come out better on the other side because of it.
Please believe me.
All right, y'all. So I want to get into a couple of things, because I definitely, matter of fact, did you find that article?
Which one? I found.
Yeah, about your guy. Just the United States. Soon to be president once again, the American up-and-coming president, Donald J. Cheeto Trump. he's still going to get tans, man. He's still tanning. How old is this dude, man? Is he in his 70s too, like Biden? He'd be having the nerve to go after Biden for Biden having senior moments, and you a senior too. Stop. But anyway, man, this dude's going to win, man. Huh?
He's
77. He's 77, man. This is how you know, man. What did they tell us in Daniel, the second chapter? Because in that chapter, it names alternate powers. When I say alternate, I mean alternate. I mean other than the power of the Israelites, other than the kingdom that the nation of Israel once had. Those alternate powers, it starts at the head and it works its way all the way down to the feet. Right? Because the feet is the end of all our bodies. So it's allegory for the end of alternate powers reign when you read that chapter. But my point in bringing this out is that in that chapter, it tells us that the feet of the last kingdom was going to be partly strong and partly weak. It says they want to be made out of iron and murky clay. And that's where we are now, man. In this last kingdom, with this partly strong and partly weak kingdom, and America is partly strong because of its military, as well as the fact you can't globally trade oil but in any currency but the U.S. dollar. So that's keeping them strong. So it's military, you know, by way of covert colonization, you know, colonialism on a down low level. It's not openly done like the, you know, the Brits and all the other Edomite empires did. America does this stuff covert by way of the CIA, by way of the its military, and by way of its humanitarian efforts. You know, it's code word for colonialism. But it's still strong in that regards, but it's weak. It's weak in the regards of what? America really never had great morals. But it used to be a time where if you were homosexual, you kept that to yourself. That had to be kept on the down low. You were in the closet. And reason being, because on its books, the American Psychiatric Foundation or whatever the name is, homosexuality, y'all can check it. Fact check it, whatever. All the way up till 1973, homosexuality was listed as a mental illness. And that it is. It's still a mental illness, whether they want to list it or not. But anyway, they did away with that because of the political pressure that they were up under, because a lot of politicians were little bati boys, bati men on the low-low. And they wanted to rise to power and make policies that would one day help their people out. And I'm talking about the letter people. And they eventually achieved that. And this is the days that we're living in right now. And that's just one of the examples of bringing out how this last kingdom, matter of fact, let's just go there. Let's get Daniel chapter 2. Oh, man. I'm not going to break this chapter down. We've done this several times over. I just want to get a one particular verse. Daniel chapter 2 and start verse 31.
Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass.
So it's talking about all the kingdoms. Started at the head and is working its way on down. Read.
his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay.
And that's the part I wanted to get to, which would be the last kingdom. The last kingdom. Matter of fact, let's skip over to jump down to verse 40.
And the fourth kingdom shall be strong
so
as iron.
So I told you he was talking about kingdoms. He's talking about the fourth kingdom here, read. It's going to be strong as iron, read.
For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise.
So this is talking about the Roman Empire, y'all. And in particular, it's talking about the split of the kingdom, and it talks about the bruise. It also talks about it being bruised in the book of Revelations. But the Roman Empire, it split into the western half, eastern half, and the western half eventually would fall, but the eastern half continued under the Byzantine Empire. But that ain't what I want to bring out. Keep reading.
And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided.
So the Roman Empire, or the Edomite Empire, I'll say more correctly, came back into power around the Renaissance, around the late 1400s. It came back into power under the Ottoman Turks, and then it went through a phase of colonialism, rising and conquering all different parts of the world, colonializing all over the place, the so-called white man, no matter if it was the Brits, the Spanish, the Portuguese, the French, all of them had colonial territories. So they came back into power, and that it would eventually lead to the Americas being founded, because remember, the founding fathers of this country, during the War of Independence, they were fighting against who? The Brits, because the Brits had came over here and colonialized those 13 colonies that they stole, the land they stole from the so-called Native Americans, which we know were the tribes of Reuben and Gad. They colonialized those places, and then it would eventually would make deals with their other Edomite brothers and sisters to inquire the rest of the acquire the rest of the territories that we now know as North America. And in this North American empire, it's ran just like what? The Roman Empire. This is why you have a Capitol Hill in D.C., the same as you had in Rome. This is why you have the vomitariums that are masquerading as buffets. We call them buffets, but they were vomitariums back in Roman days where all you could eat, right? And you would go throw up and come back and eat some more. That's why we call it vomitariums. This day and age, I don't know if people still throw up. I know people go to the bathroom and take a dump and come out and smash like 8 more plates. But it's still the same thing that's going on here. And then what you had going on in Rome was you had a lot of freak monsters. And I brought this out time and time again, Tiberius Caesar with his little freak island. Hopefully y'all know about Caligula and his freak-offs he had. All those Roman empires, and the scriptures tell us that the leader is, so are the people. So this all of this freaky stuff was going on during Rome, during the Roman Empire, but now we're in the latter end of the Roman Empire. That's why it says, read that part again.
And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided.
The kingdom shall be what?
Divided.
And this is why you got Republican on Republican beef now. There used to be a strong Republican party. They always backed the Republican. Now you got Republicans beefing against one another. What's the Elamite's name? Nikki Haley? She had to drop out of the race, but Trump was smashing her for her immigration status because she is an immigrant. She's a East Indian. Her parents migrated to this country, so he was smashing her. She was smashing him. You get Republicans that are pulling out Trump's dirty laundry and this whole January 6th stuff that's going on. But this holds true to the scriptures. This kingdom is partly strong and partly weak, and is divided. This is what making it weak, as well as its immoral standards. Because remember, it used to be a time, man, you could work a job in the U.S., people be on their job for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, man, and they would retire, they would get their pension, you know, and they'd be, you know, chilling, man, raising their grandkids and great-grandkids. They would live off their pension, basically. But now that ain't happening. Because back in the day, people used to be loyal to the company, and the company was loyal to them in return. But now you get companies, man, companies don't care. It's all about the bottom line. It's rare to see somebody that's worked a job for 20, 30 years and actually retired from their job and is receiving a pension. You get some people that they'll fire right before their retirement age or lay them off right before their retirement age. That's not happening no more. It used to be a time where the institution of marriage in America was sacred. You know, it was sacred on the exterior, but in the interior, you know, the husband would have a side piece or the wife would have her little kinks or whatever, but they still be together for 20 and 30 years and raise a family and all this good stuff. It would be kept on the low, they little freakisms. But now that ain't so. Divorce is at an all-time rate, and everybody's got a side piece, but the side piece is in the open. The side piece is getting the same privileges as the wife. So this is how you know it's definitely talking about America. It's moral fabric, which they really never really had, because America really never had any moral rules or codes in the book, so to speak. They would pretend that they did, but they really didn't. They really don't. As of now, really they don't. And then with all this technology, man, to where you could be a freelance entrepreneur, a freelance capitalist, and you don't need real skill now to make money. Internet influencers. Hence, people on YouTube making videos about killing roaches or how to paint the toenails of roaches. I don't care. I mean, I don't know. They just come up with stuff. And they make it watchable. They make it a fad. They make it trendy. That's the word they got, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't even need real skill to have a job or a career and make money now, man. Look at all the, what is it?
Social media.
The food app stuff they got. The food delivery places, which spawned from Uber, the autonomous taxi cab, I guess it is. But then you got all these drop-off places, the Instacart, the name the food stuff.
You pretty much hit up the main ones, Instacart, Uber Eats.
Right, but and I'm going into all this to show us just how the fabric of what was once the great nation, the great melting pot, has deteriorated. But the scriptures told us this. Read that part again, verse 41.
And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron,
mm-hmm.
the kingdom shall be divided.
Right, read.
But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron.
But it's still going to be strong. Once again, America's military, America's, and I can even say America's technology, which is really a blessing and a curse for them. So they're able to do some extraordinary things with their technology, but on the back end, their technology is dumbing the whole country down. Read on.
For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay,
mm-hmm.
and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken.
Partly strong and partly broken, man. It's a wrap. It is a wrap for the Anglo-American Empire. It is a wrap, y'all. We're in the last days. Let me see. Here we go. It's a wrap. It's over. This kingdom is coming to an end. Hallelujah. All right, you got that article? About Trump and stuff that he said about the so-called immigrants.
Okay, from ABC News, Trump claims attacks on migrants help stir debate. says he will soon announce abortion positions.
I don't know. I don't think that's the one. No, he said that. He made a statement.
You want that?
What does it say? Yeah, you can read that one, but that ain't the one I'm talking about. Read that one, though.
Just that line?
Yeah.
Trump, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. Republicans are defending former President Donald Trump's controversial comment made while discussing economic tariffs that there would be a bloodbath if he lost the 2024 election.
This is the same language that he used when he initiated the January 6th ride, march, rage on Washington. It's the same language, man. In fact, I read another article. I should have pulled that up. He said when he gets elected, he's going to initiate very strict immigration policies, and he's going to start deporting people, illegals, he said, from this country. This is Gestapo style, man. Matter of fact, in Texas today, I believe it was, they passed, what's that damn bill? It's a bill, see if you can find that, that Congress just passed to where if law enforcement sees anybody that they suspect, you know what a suspect is, right? If they suspect somebody looks like they're here illegally, they can stop them on site and ask for their papers. I'm not lying, y'all. They can stop them on site and ask for their papers. Gestapo style, man. This is how you know they're the same people, man. Same tactics, same method, same stuff Hitler was doing. You find it? Oh, man. So look up Bill Pass.
They pass it not every day. Every general.
I want to say SB something. Bill passed where immigrants can be stopped and asked for their papers or their legal status. Bear with me, y'all. She's looking for the article now. I apologize. I usually have this stuff ready to go, but the class, man, took me down a lot of rabbit holes. You find it yet? Try NPR. You found it?
Yeah.
SB4. Thank you, Arkaya. Thank you. Where you at, though? I wish you was down here. You could have pulled it. Read it.
U.S. Supreme Court allows SB4, Texas's controversial immigration enforcement law, to go into effect.
Told you, y'all. I wasn't lying. Read.
Texas's controversial immigration enforcement law, which allows local police to arrest undocumented immigrants, can go into effect, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday. The measure, Senate Bill 4, makes unauthorized entry into Texas a state crime.
Unauthorized entry into Texas, a state crime. Who is that pointed at? Who is that? Who are they directly going after, y'all? The same people they've been complaining about and sending busloads of them to northern states. Black and brown people, man. Black and brown people. And it's not far-fetched. This is laying the blueprint for the stuff Trump is about to do, man. This is just the beginning. Because y'all remember what he did when he was in office the first time, when he suspended people's visas, specifically people of color, suspended their visas, cut off entry to a lot of the Arab world, to this country, which they had to go back and forth with litigation for months. I forgot what it was called, or Kaya, if you're paying attention, you're still listening, if you can give me that one, when Trump suspended the everybody's visas when he was in office. But they laying the groundwork for his return right now, man. They setting it up. I hope y'all can see this. All right, now go back to the other article. What I was trying to find, because he did like a not a state, he did like a, he had a rally, and he said that the immigrants that were coming to this country are subhuman. I think that was the terminology that he used, subhuman. See if you can find that one. He said subhuman or not human or something he said. Yeah, this dude off the chain, though. And he gonna win, man. And our ignorant people, man. As a matter of fact, I was at Nahar's, shout out to you, Nahar. I was at his housewarming party, one of his guests. And y'all know Nahar. Nahar is a brother that wears many hats. Eclectic, yes. And he has friends. He has friends all over the place, different walks of life. But they really support him. They really show him a lot of love. Anyway, one of his guests he had there, I believe she was Issachar, talking to her, she was basically a Trump supporter on the low. She wouldn't say it, but, you know, the way they be talking. She was talking about how the immigrants are putting a drain on society, and they coming over here and they getting food stamps and free visas and all this other stuff because she works at the DPS office, so she wouldn't know these things. But I'm looking at her, I'm like, you Mexican, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You Mexican. Yo, ancestors. I'm sure, I don't know how far back, but somebody came from Mexico to the United States and paved the way for you so you could work at DPS. I mean, what you talking about? But this is our people, man. It ain't just our so-called Hispanic brothers that's pro-Trump and voting for Trump. But it's black folks too, man. Judites, the tribe of Judah. Like, huh? What? It baffles my mind, man, how anybody, especially anybody that say they are Christians and believe in the Bible, could be standing in an election line to vote. Because isn't that a oxymoron? How can you believe in the principles of the Bible and you believe in the principles of this country at the same time, so much so that you're willing to vote for them or vote against them, and you claim to be a follower of Christ, but where did Christ ever vote for a Caesar? I don't remember reading that in the Gospels anywhere. But Christ stood in line in the rain, and he cast his vote for it would have been Tiberius during the time of Christ. He cast his vote for Tiberius Caesar. I don't, for his re-election campaign, because he was in office before Christ was born. But I don't remember reading any of that. But our people who claim they believe in Christ are the first ones at the poll. And then this, too, that's so hypocritical, because then they start talking about there's a separation of church, between church and state. It was a separation between that does it just don't make sense. Anyway, did you find the article?
These are the comments he made back in November.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's incendiary vermin remarks prompt backlash. Former President Trump prompted backlash for comparing his political enemies to vermin who needed to be exposed, with critics drawing comparisons to dictators from decades ago. Trump, in a Veterans Day speech in New Hampshire, pledged to root out the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, the latest in a growing line of increasingly incendiary comments about his political opponents heading into the 2024 election.
That ain't the one I wanted. It's the most recent one. Anyway, don't worry about it, man. I don't want to waste too much time on this because I definitely want to get to this class. Let's get this other article. So I know it's been quite some time, y'all, since I've done a Health Corner segment, but I'm definitely going to do one today. I ran across an interview that I thought was interesting. I wanted to share with everybody. You got that one?
From NPR.org. From anxiety to cancer, the evidence against ultra-processed food piles up.
So there's evidence against ultra-processed foods. If you don't know what ultra-processed food is, y'all, if you look at a pack of whatever you're going to buy from the store, and if it has a list of ingredients that you can't pronounce, that's an ultra-processed food, all right, in case you didn't know. All foods are processed. All foods go through some situation in which they're processed for consumption, for edibility. They have to, most of them anyway. But it's not bad, like, if you look on your pack and you see that whatever it is you bought that was in this pack has three ingredients or one ingredient. I mean, even better. But those are the products that you want to purchase. One ingredient, three ingredients, four at the most, and all are natural, and you can pronounce them. But the ultra-processed stuff has all that I can't even pronounce the stuff. But y'all know the stuff. Y'all turn it over and y'all read it. If y'all even do that, some of us don't even do it. We fabulous. Just throw it in the bag. We just throw it in the bag. But for us that are conscious of what we're putting into our temples, because our bodies are a temple, don't forget. And y'all can cite 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Our bodies are definitely the temple of the Most High and should treat it as such. But for us, those that are conscious about what we put into our temple, I definitely want y'all to hear this, and even if you're not conscious, that this may somehow resonate with you to where you'll start being a bit more conscious about what you put in your temple. So, wait, read.
At a time when Americans consume more than half of their daily calories from ultra-processed foods.
More than what?
More than half.
More than half. And keeping in mind, y'all, the caloric intake on all the charts is basically set off a 2,000 calorie a day diet. Most of them are. So it says more than half of that is processed food. So what would be half of 2,000 calories? 1,000 calories, right? But let's say more than half. So let's say 1,300 mm-hmm. of those 2,000 calories is ultra-processed food. That's a lot. If it's ultra-processed, your body's not going to recognize a lot of the chemicals that are put in it to preserve the product. So your body won't break it down, and your body ends up storing and hanging on to it. This is why you get a lot of people that they'll go on diets, they'll do strenuous exercise, they'll be on it continually, and consistent with it, but they just have certain areas that they just can't seem to get rid of, because those chemicals, they just go there and they sit there and they just pretty much stay in your body and don't really break down. This is why it's so important to fast. When you fast, you give your body the strength that it needs to hopefully break down these chemicals, man, and get them out, get the toxins out, get the unknown invaders in the form of preservatives out of your body. So reading on.
At a time when Americans consume more than half of their daily calories from ultra-processed foods, there is increasing evidence that eating too many of these foods can make us sick.
Now, keep in mind, it said too many. Now, everybody's going to trick off from time to time and have their hot pocket, their frozen dinner, their quick meals, but just don't make this a habit. Read.
A study published in the British Medical Journal finds people who consume high amounts of these foods have an increased risk of anxiety, depression, obesity, metabolic syndrome, certain cancers, including colorectal cancer, and premature death.
Colon cancer, premature death. This is why, and I keep hearing this, man, so many young people, you're hearing about having heart attacks and having, like, terminal illnesses, people that are, like, in their 20s and 30s. And you're like, wow, how the hell are you? You're so young. But this is the reason why. It's the chemicals that they're putting in the food. And I don't know if y'all checked. I forgot to get this brother's name. But there's a brother that's all over YouTube. He's actually a doctor. And he brought out certain U.S. foods that are banned in other countries. Read on in the article.
The data come from more than 9 million people who participated in dozens of studies with researchers analyzed as part of Umbrella Review.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the body of literature as a whole, there was consistent evidence that regularly eating higher compared to lower amounts of ultra-processed foods was linked to these adverse health outcomes, says study author Melissa Lane of Deakin University in Australia.
And it makes sense. Y'all remember the comment saying, I don't know if they still have it, but you are what you eat. If I eat a bunch, Bobby Price is his name. That's the brother, Bobby Price. I'm going to finish my thought on that too. He bought out these foods that are banned in other countries that are still sold here in the U.S. If they really wanted to stop this, they would just ban these foods. They would tell the food companies, hey, look, you can't put this XYZ into these products anymore. You got to clean your act up. But they haven't done this. And you know why? Because they want people to die. Because there's big business in death. You don't believe me? If you got any spare time and you want to disprove Tyler's Pop, man, go sit in an oncology wing of a hospital or an oncology clinic. Oncology is dealing with cancer. And it's going to be wall to wall. No, it's going to be standing room only. Go check it out. See for yourself. I'm not making this up. Death. Sickness is big business in America. This is why they won't outlaw these preservatives and chemicals that are put in food. This is why they still got the pink slime. No, I don't know if y'all heard of that. YouTube it. We know.
Ultra-processed foods are abundant in our food supply.
They are what?
Abundant.
Abundant. Read.
Among the most common are highly refined breads, fast food, sugary drinks, cereals, cookies, and other packaged snacks. They are often high in salt, sugar, fat, and calories, and low in fiber and micronutrients such as vitamins.
And this is why you get people. Name that list again.
Highly refined breads, fast food, sugary drinks, cereals, cookies, and other packaged snacks.
So the salt. This is why you got high blood pressure. The sugar is why you got people with the sugar, diabetes, because they put it in every damn thing. And what else did it say?
Fat.
This is why you get so many people that's obese or they got hypertension on the verge of having a heart attack. What else? Once again, obesity. Read on.
The dietary guidelines for Americans recommend filling half our plates with fruits and vegetables and eating plenty of whole grains and not too much of the refined grains found in ultra-processed foods.
Oh, yeah, and then it talks about fiber. So, yeah, and this is, anyway, you want to have that fiber in your diet. Fiber is going to help you poop, y'all. And you want to get it by those leafy vegetables and those grains. So there are a lot of people that don't go to the bathroom on a daily. They're not pooping once a day, twice a day. People that's going 2-3 days and they ain't use the bathroom. So you got to ask yourself, if you're going 2-3 days, you use the bathroom, but you're still eating food, where's all that food at? It's sitting there in your digestive system making you sick. This is why you got to go to the hospital for whatever ailment that you got. Because you ain't been using the bathroom. All that food is just sitting there. Going back to my statement, you are what you eat. When you eat a meal, y'all, we want fast transit time. You eat that meal, like an hour, 2 hours max later, you're going to the bathroom to get it out your system. You want to keep the food moving. You want to keep the bowels moving. You know?
and plenty, and eating plenty of whole grains and not too much of the refined grains found in ultra-processed foods. One telltale sign that a food is ultra-processed is if its ingredient label includes substances you would not find in your own kitchen, such as high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated oils, hydrolyzed protein, or additives such as artificial colors, flavor enhancers, emulsifiers, anti-caking agents, and thickeners. The evidence piles up. The observational studies included in this new review do not prove that consumption of ultra-processed foods can cause anxiety, cancer, or other health conditions.
Now look, they didn't name, it was all this valuable information, and then they come back with this. Read that again.
The observational studies included in this new review do not prove that consumption of ultra-processed foods can cause anxiety, cancer, or other health conditions.
It don't prove it, but I thought y'all said that y'all did a study showing that it did. When I read this article, I was like, huh? They came out of left field with this. But you know why? Because those corporations that make the food are their sponsors. They're their sponsors. A lot of these media publications are sponsored by big brand name companies. And this is why when you hear like certain events happen, certain media publications don't cover the event. Or they'll be biased when they cover the event because the person in question is their sponsor. What's the old saying? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. So this is why they would come back with this nonsense. All right, y'all. I've had enough of that. Let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 30 and verse 14.
Better is the poor being sound and strong of constitution than a rich man that is afflicted in his body.
It's better to be healthy and to be fit, man. It says that that's better than being a rich man. Read.
Health and good estate of body are above all gold.
Man, your health is above all the wealth, all the money in the world, man. You being healthy. Because if you're healthy, then you're living. And you get to live a little longer. Read.
And a strong body above infinite wealth.
And it's good to have a strong body. It says a strong body is above infinite wealth. And then y'all see it too, man. How many millionaires y'all done heard over the years have terminal illnesses? So they got all this dough, but they can't spend it. Look at, for example, what is Bruce Willis now with what they say he had, dementia, which Quarkazab did an excellent class bringing that out, that the dementia was, they're now calling it type 3 diabetes because they're saying that it's caused by too much insulin in your brain, which would make sense. So him and then countless other people that have enormous amounts of wealth, but they're not healthy. They got terminal illnesses. Read on.
Death is better.
Verse 16.
There is no riches above a sound body and no joy above the joy of the heart.
Right. Now read verse 17.
Death is better than a bitter life or continual sickness.
And it doubles down on it. It's better to die than have a continual illness. So you can have all the money in the world, but if you got a terminal illness, you ain't going to be there to spend it. You ain't going to be there to enjoy it. So what's the use of even having it? And then having a terminal illness, man, it ain't baller to wake up every day sick. And then what Esau do is he'll give you medicines that you can live a little bit longer with your terminal illness, but the side effect is worse than your damn illness. that ain't no life to live, man. Remember what Christ said. Christ said, I've come that they might have life but have it more abundantly. You're not having no abundant life. I mean, if every day you got to pop damn 15 pills, you got the little, the pill thing, the pill case from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you got the little pill case, all your pills in there. That ain't balling, man. And then your ailment is so bad, you can't even get up and go outdoors and get some fresh air. You can't even be in nature. So what does that do to your mentals? Now you're depressed. Now you got anxiety. Now you're lonely. And the scriptures tell us that many have died of a broken heart. Let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 37, verse 27.
My son, prove thy soul in thy life,
uh-huh,
and see what is evil for it,
uh-huh,
and give not that unto it.
What this verse is talking about is being disciplined. You should know what's good for you and what's not good for you. And this ain't just talking about, I know I'm using it in the references of food, but this is talking about other things too, man. If you know it's not good for you to watch a certain thing on TV because it's a trigger for you to go into some dark places, then don't watch it. If you know that when you drink, you act a certain way, it's a trigger for you, then don't do it. But that requires discipline. If you know that if you talk to a certain person on the phone or be around this certain person and they make you feel this type of way to where you're going to go left and do the dirt that you used to do before you came into the knowledge of the truth, then you need to distance yourself and not associate and communicate with that person anymore. But that requires what? Discipline. Getting back to this food. If I know this food is going to make me sick, then that requires me to have some discipline about myself and not choose these, this processed food over whole foods. Let me make me a real meal instead of searching for something quick. Let me food prep. So I won't be hungry, and I can't find them, so I just grab what's close. Well, what's close got 1,000 damn chemicals in it I can't pronounce, and it's making me sick. That requires discipline, y'all. And to be honest, that's what a lot of us lack. We lack a lot of discipline. Verse 29.
You know what I'm saying?
28. Sorry.
For all things are not profitable for all men.
See? Everybody can't do everything. And you might see somebody that eat like crap and don't gain no weight. This person's got a high metabolism, but their metabolism's going to slow down. And the stuff they're eating is going to catch up with them eventually. You can't just say, okay, everybody else doing it, I'm going to do it. No, because everything's not profitable for everybody. Like the example I was giving out, some people, they can drink a drink, and it won't make them act crazy and do all types of crazy stuff, but you probably can't do that because it's going to make you act crazy and do all types of crazy stuff. Some people can maybe watch something on TV and it won't trigger their vices. But other people, they can't do that. So, and I'm saying this too, so we don't start comparing ourselves to other people and just doing what they're doing, thinking it ain't going to have an effect on us, and we know it's going to have an effect on us. Read.
Neither hath every soul pleasure in everything.
You know?
Be not insatiable in any dainty thing.
This is the word I'll be looking for too, man. When I'll be talking about my son, trying to describe what worries me about him. He, at times he can be insatiable, man. Your pa really loves sugar. He does. He's a dick. My son is addicted to sugar, man. I'm going to confess. I'm trying to get him off of it. But this dude would do anything to get it, and that's what bothers me. It's no different than us, and we're insatiable about whatever it is. We will do anything to obtain it. This is why it's telling us, read it again.
Be not insatiable in any dainty thing,
mm-hmm,
nor too greedy upon meat.
Don't be that way. Don't be insatiable. Be satisfied, man. Why you got to have seconds and thirds? Why you got to have so much food piled on your plate? Wow, man, I just can't get over, man, them Hot Pockets though. Whatever processed food you're just addicted to, you overindulge in it. Read.
For excess of meat bringeth sickness.
Excess of what?
Of meat bringeth sickness.
Not just the excess of meat. Excess of anything is going to bring what?
Sickness.
It's going to bring sickness. You're going to get sick whether you're eating too much food, drinking too much alcohol, drinking too much coffee. In excess, everything should be done in moderation. Read.
And surfeiting will turn into choler.
Now let's look that word up, surfeiting.
Surfeit, an excess amount of something.
An excess amount of something. But that in order for you not to have an excess amount of something, that requires discipline, which is, when we read in the Bible, the care of discipline is love. Well, the care of love is discipline. I might have it backwards. But discipline is love. I show that I love myself by how I execute my discipline, not cut myself off from doing too much of this, eating too much of that, or consuming too much of that, or consuming too much of this. That requires discipline. It says it will turn into color. What is color?
Color, yellow bile.
Right, and we know that if you get too much bile in your digestive system, you'll get sick. You'll start throwing it up by way of acid reflex. Verse 31.
Sorry, which also, sorry, carry on. You said which one?
No,
I thought it was something. It was talking about, we've gone to the floor, but it was
okay. 31.
31. By surfeiting have many perished.
By over access, many have died. Read.
But he that taketh heed prolongeth his life.
He that taketh heed, taking heed is using your discipline, exercising your discipline. So although this happened, give me Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 13. Ezekiel 4:13.
And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread.
Their what?
Defiled bread.
The defiled bread is talking about food. This was a punishment that the Most High put on us for breaking his law, statutes, and commandments, that we would eat defiled food by way of processed food, by way of processed meats, damn chicken soaked in bleach and ammonia. What's the meat, the beef I just brought up? The pink slime, the food that they deconstructed and put back together. And I say this because I remember I was trying to buy some, you know, that lemon squeeze stuff, because I was being lazy and I didn't want to squeeze no lemons. A lot, y'all got to look at those, the ingredients on the lemon squeeze stuff, because some of it is not pure lemon. Some of it, they actually broke the components down of it, and they added stuff and threw it back in there. So one of them I was reading, and it had that on there. it had been broken down and reassembled. Like, no, I don't want that. But this is the punishment that the Most High gave to the children of Israel for breaking his law, statutes, and commandments, that we were going to eat defiled bread among who?
Among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them.
Among the other nations where we were driven, we were scattered. See Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64. But even though the Most High put this on us, still have to exercise what? Discipline. We have to exercise a care for the temple that he gave us and do the best we can. Nobody's perfect. Yeah, you're going to trick off. You're going to go eat some fast food here and there. But just don't make it an everyday thing or everyday habit, man. Because you look at it too, we're the people that's suffering the most from eating the worst, because they made these foods, these ultra-processed foods, so accessible for us. This is why you have things known as food deserts. A food desert is the corner store that's got all the junk, all the ultra-processed food, but it don't have the whole foods. And then you got to think about it too. How bad is it to where they got to come out with a grocery store and call it Whole Foods? But I thought regular grocery stores was to sell Whole Foods. Why you got to name this store Whole Foods? And then you go into Whole Foods and you see that there's a difference between the stuff they're selling and the stuff the local grocery store selling. It's like night and day. And then that food is high as hell. It's very expensive. They know can't nobody eat that way. Just living check to check. They already know this, man. So they're setting it up for failure. And we, not being conscious of it, we falling for it, man. And as a result of it, we're the ones getting sick. So that's the health corner, y'all. I want to leave y'all with that. And remember, this is all in love. All in love, y'all. So we're going to take a brief break, intermission, and we're going to come back on the other side of this with the class titled Never Wax Pale, The Old Silence, y'all. So we'll be right back. Y'all, we are back, man. So the class titled Never Wax Pale, The Old Silence, which we were dealing with last week and showing that the old silence is also known as the dark ages. So let's go to 2 Ezra chapter 7 and read verse 30. Yeah. I want to jump right into it, y'all. I didn't know that I had went this far over, man, but we're here now, so let's get it.
And the world shall be turned into the old silence 7 days,
mm-hmm.
like as in the former judgment, so that no man shall remain.
So the old silence, once again, is referring to the dark ages, and it being silent, or called the dark ages, because the Most High had hid his face. He had stopped dealing with us. Like I had covered previous broadcasts, we've got the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Apocrypha. Without the revelations, man, it's nothing else. It's like, what happened to the rest of the story? You know, what else did we do? The book basically stops there. But going into what is talking about the old silence, which is, like I said, the dark ages, let's hold this and let's get 2 Ezra chapter 14. And we're going to start at verse 1.
14.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass upon the third day, I sat under an oak, and behold, there came a voice out of a bush over against me and said, Ezra, Ezra.
So this Ezra is Ezra, he's known as in the Bible, and this voice that was coming to him out of this burning bush, and y'all can go back and read at the beginning, this is the angel Uriel, so the angel of wisdom, was speaking with Ezra and dropping a lot of stuff on him. Read on.
Said, here I am. Here am I, Lord. And I stood up upon my feet. Then said he unto me, in the bush I did manifestly reveal myself unto Moses,
mm-hmm.
and talked with him when my people served in Egypt.
So he took them all the way back to where we became a nation, the children of Israel in Egypt. And he said, yeah, I had Moses. I talked with him when my people served in Egypt. But listen to this part, read.
And I sent him and led my people out of Egypt and brought him up to the Mount of Sinai, where I held him by me a long season.
So it's talking about when Moses went up to get the commandments. The Most High said he held Moses there for a long season, meaning a long time. And we go back to the scriptures. It says that Moses was up there 40 days and 40 nights. He was fasting. Read on.
And told him many wondrous things and showed him the secrets of the times.
So he said he showed Moses a lot of wondrous things. And it makes sense, because how else could Moses write the first five books of the Bible, especially Genesis, in such detail without the Most High giving him the story? How else could he write it? Now, we know that we had an oral tradition and we passed things down, but Moses in Genesis is very detailed, man, very detailed. So that explains how he would get Genesis, because it says, and told him many wondrous things and showed him the secrets of the times. So not only did Moses get the beginning of times, because it says times here, then Moses would had to get what? The middle of times and the end of times. So Moses got a lot of prophecies. Read.
And the end.
See, and he got the end of times.
And commanded him, saying, these words shalt thou declare, and these shalt thou hide.
So he told Moses, hey, these words you can write about. You can publicize these stories, these chapters, these books, you can publicize these, but I want you to hide this right here. Don't give them this. I hope everybody is seeing this. So Moses, did he have an understanding of what's known as the Dark Ages or the Old Silence? Yeah, he did have an understanding of this, because the Most High showed him these things. He just told us. Now let's go to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7. And we're going to start at verse 1.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1. I myself also am a mortal man, like to all.
Now, this is Solomon speaking. Now, I want you to, go ahead, keep reading.
And the offspring of him that was first made of the earth.
And he said he's the offspring of him that was first made on the earth. It's talking about Adam. He's saying he's the offspring of Adam. Now, let's jump down to verse 15.
God hath granted me to speak as I would, and to conceive as is meet for the things that are given me, because it is he that leadeth unto wisdom and directeth the wise.
The Most High does this. Read.
For in his hand are both we and our words, all wisdom also, and knowledge of workmanship.
So everything, all wisdom, all knowledge, workmanship, every, because Christ said every idle word, which we spoke, is going to be coming to account. So, Solomon is verifying that, or doubling down on that, letting us know that it is so. But read on.
For he has given me certain knowledge of the things that are namely to know how.
Now, this is the part I want to get to. So Solomon says that the Most High gave him certain knowledge of the things that are namely to know how. And he goes on, read.
The world was made.
So Solomon also got what? The beginning of time, just like Moses got, right? We just read that. Read.
And the operation of the elements.
And how the elements created the world. He got that too. Read.
The beginning, ending, and midst of the time.
And that's the part I want to get to. So Solomon got the beginning. I'm sorry. Yeah, he got the beginning, the ending, and the midst of time, the Middle Ages, or the Medieval Ages, or the Dark Ages, also known as the Byzantine Era. So Solomon saw this also. So, yeah, we only got a certain amount of books, but we got a whole bunch of prophecies from the book that we got. We got enough, y'all. We have enough, you know?
The alterations of the turning of the sun and the change of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
The circuits of years.
I'm sorry. All I wanted was verse 18, right?
Okay.
All right. So now let's go to Isaiah chapter 29. We're going to start at verse 9. Mm-hmm.
Isaiah chapter 29, verse 9. Say yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine.
So when it says they're drunken, but not with wine, it's talking about the influence. Our people are heavily influenced. Read.
They stagger, but not with strong drink.
So this is not talking about alcohol. It's talking about the influence that have our people staggering through life, not knowing answers, not having answers, and making bad decisions because we won't use the instruction manual that the Most High left us, known as the Bible, which contain what? The law, statutes, and commandments. Read.
For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep.
And a lot of our people got this spirit of deep sleep on them. Read.
And have closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered.
Mm-hmm.
And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed.
And that's what the Bible is to a lot of people. It's a book that's sealed. If it's sealed, you can't open it. You don't have access to it. And a lot of the prophecies that we're going to go over has been sealed to the whole world, to be honest about it. Everybody is not going to get it. Everybody's not going to understand it. Read.
Which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee.
Mm-hmm.
And he saith, I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
For it is
what?
Sealed.
It is sealed. Read.
And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned.
I am not learned. Now, hold this, and let's go back to 2 Ezra chapter 7 and verse 30. Mm-hmm.
And the world shall be turned into the old silence 7 days.
So the world of Israel is going to be turned to the silence 7 days, a complete number of times. Read.
Like as in the former judgment.
Uh-huh.
So that no man shall remain.
No man of understanding is going to remain. Why? Because the book was going to be sealed. The book was going to be sealed, and it was sealed during the time of what we know as the Dark Ages. Read.
And after 7 days, the world...
I'm sorry. Read verse... verse 30 again.
And the world shall be turned into the old silence 7 days,
uh-huh,
like as in the former judgment,
uh-huh,
so that no man shall remain.
No man of understanding, no man that understood the book was going to remain. And that's basically what happened during the Dark Ages. We're going to get into it. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 29. And what verse did you leave off in? Verse 13.
Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me,
uh-huh,
and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men.
And because we didn't have this instruction manual during that time, everybody was going off the precepts or the rules of men. Read. Verse 14.
Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people.
Read.
even a marvelous work and a wonder.
A marvelous work and a wonder, read.
For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish.
No doubt, read.
And the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid.
Shall be hid. Hence, the dark ages, man. Us being without the Most High not talking to us, not dealing with us. And we're going on to start this pagan society known as Catholicism. We definitely going to get into it. We started that, y'all. So let's go to Revelations chapter 1. And I want you to start at verse 1. Oh, let me catch up with you.
Okay.
Read.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
So the word revelation means to reveal. Means to reveal something that was not previously known. So John the Revelator, one of Christ's disciples who eventually would go on and graduate and become an apostle, a messenger, he wrote this on the island of Patmos when he was banished there by, Titus's son, Domitian. Yeah, he banished him there. So he wrote this. And we're going to learn some things that were not previously known. So, like I said, we got Old Testament, New Testament, Apocrypha, but we didn't get, those are books that we know we have. And like I said, the book basically ends with the book of Revelations, but there are other prophecies all throughout the Bible that the Most High gave us. So, like I said, we have enough. So, you read verse 10, right? Or verse 2, right? No. Did you read two?
Who bear record of the word of God.
So John the Revelator bear record of the word of God. Read.
And of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw.
He wrote all these things down that he saw. And then in particular, I want us to key in on the testimony of Christ. Hold this and let's get Revelations 19 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 10.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me,
this is John the Baptist, read. I'm sorry, John the Revelator, read.
See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus.
That have the testimony of who?
Of Jesus.
Right, and remember we read in Revelation chapter 1 that John the Revelator got the testimony of Jesus. Now we're reading about the testimony of Jesus, or testimony of Christ again. Read.
Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
The testimony of Christ, the testimony of Yahweh Shah, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what?
Prophecy.
Of prophecy. So what are we going to get out of the book of Revelations?
Prophecy.
We're going to get some prophecies. Now, this is the definition for prophecy. Definition number 3, a prediction of something to come. So a prophecy is a prediction of something to come. So what's about to be revealed in the book of Revelations is our prediction of things to come. Meaning that these things hadn't happened yet as we're reading about them. I want us to understand that. So the book of Revelations is a book of prophecy. St. John chapter 14, verse 15. Read.
If ye love me, keep my commandments.
This is Christ speaking. Read.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter.
And this is Christ. I'm going to pray to the Father. He's going to give you another comforter. Read.
That he may abide with you forever.
And we know, according to St. John chapter 14, verse 26, the Comforter is the Bible. It's the book. St. John chapter 15, verse 26, tells us that the Comforter is the Bible. It's the book. And Christ being the Bible in the book, because after all, Christ is the Word, right? So that was going to be the Comforter. And the Comforter left us a book of prophecies. Y'all see that? This is why we're going to be comforted, because you read the Bible, you read about our captivities, and then you also read about our captivities coming to an end. Those are prophecies in the Bible also about us being taken out of this condition, us reigning with Christ, the ones that are faithful unto death, to keep the law, statutes, and commandments, the coming of Christ. We're going to inherit the everlasting life. We're going to get the kingdom. All nations are going to serve upon us. That's a prophecy. But what is that? As comfort, to comfort us in this mournful captivity that we're in right now. Read verse 17.
Even the Spirit of truth,
mm-hmm.
whom the world cannot receive.
The world can't receive this. The world can't even see this. Read.
Because it seeth him not,
mm-hmm.
neither knoweth him, but ye know him.
Mm-hmm.
For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
And how does Christ dwell with us and be in us? Because once again, he's the Word. When we open this book up and get the Word, he's dwelling with us and he's in us. Reading on.
I will not leave you comfortless.
What did Christ say?
I will not leave you comfortless.
I'm not going to just leave you restless. I'm not going to leave you without a comfort. Once again, the Bible, the Word, being the Comforter. The prophecies of the Word that's contained in the Word is our Comforter. Read.
I will come to you.
How did Christ comes to, how does Christ come to us even after his death? By his words, by his testimony, which we just read in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Let's go back there now. Mm-hmm. Hope everybody's seeing this. Hope everybody's with me. Revelation chapter 1, and start at, let's give verse 1 again.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
Who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw.
So he wrote all of them down, and we know that the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Read.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
Of this what?
Prophecy.
No, Tazza Pai, you're making stuff up. What's the book of Revelation?
This prophecy.
Read.
And keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand.
For the time is at hand. We better know what time we're living in. So with that said, I've been making some bold statements about the dark ages, so we got to go to it. Let's get Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, we ain't going to go right to it, y'all. We got to unpack a lot of stuff because I want this to be crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
And we started at 7:30. I used to stop at, what, 9?
Mm-hmm.
Or 9:30? Anyway, read this. Yeah, okay. Revelation 6 and 1. Let me catch up with you. Yep, got it.
Okay. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see.
So this Lamb that is talking about is talking about Christ. When he says he opened one of the seals, these seals are prophecies, y'all. These seals were prophecies. So Christ opened the book up to bring out the prophecy. Let's get Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5 to find out who these beasts were. Oh, I'm sorry, to find who this was that opened the book. Read that.
And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
This is Yahweh Shai. This is Christ. Read.
The Root of David,
mm-hmm.
hath prevailed to open the book.
To open the what?
The book.
Mm-hmm.
and to loose the seven seals thereof.
To loose the seven seals or the seven prophecies. Now, matter of fact, we got to go back to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 10.
For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep.
Uh-huh. And he has on a lot of our people, read.
And hath closed your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The prophets and your rulers.
And he's closed our eyes, man. Like I said, a lot of people think that this is a religious book, not really understanding history, man. They don't. And I often contemplate this, and this is my question to the religious folk. Can y'all explain Matthew, the first chapter? And I say that because a lot of them only read the New Testament. But when you read in the very first book, the very first chapter of the New Testament, it says the genealogy of Christ. What is that but history? But they tell you that, nah, genealogies, Paul said this about genealogies. You got to read it in context. That doesn't mean Paul told us not to know your genealogy, because why else would the genealogy of Christ be in the very first book of the New Testament? And it gives his genealogy, his people's genealogy, and it also gives what? The captivities that our people have been in. But if you only start there, you're going to be lost because you don't have the information contained in the Old Testament about the captivities. But Matthew chapter 1, thank God, is there to show us, hey, look, this is some history. Oh, I see it now. I got to go study up on this history. But a lot of our people's eyes have been closed by way of pagan Christianity, to where they don't want to research these things. They don't even want to accept them, especially when you start dealing with the book of Revelations. Read on.
The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed,
mm-hmm.
which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot,
mm-hmm.
for it is sealed.
For it is sealed. That was verse what?
11.
You finish it?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10 to find out how do we unseal the book.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yes,
read.
For precept must be upon precept.
How do we unseal these prophecies?
For precept must be upon precept.
A precept is a scripture, y'all, just to keep it simple. Precept must be upon precept. So you have to put, like we've been doing, we're dealing with Revelations. We've been putting these precepts together so we can get the clarity or the edification out of one scripture. Read.
Precept upon precept.
Uh-huh. Precept upon precept. Read.
Line upon line.
Uh-huh.
Line upon line.
Read.
Here a little and there a little.
We all over this book. But this is the way you get the understanding of the precept. This is what Psalms chapter 119, verse 104 tells us. Go there and read that. So in breaking down the book of Revelation, y'all, we're going to be jumping. We're going to get a lot of precepts just to make sense out of what we're reading. This is called reading comprehension. Read.
Through thy precepts, I get understanding.
What's so important about the precepts?
Through thy precepts, I get understanding.
This is the only way I'm going to get the understanding of the book. I have to put the precepts together. I have to read things in context. I can't just take things for face value. It goes deeper than this. This is why you get a lot of people that say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. No, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. You just don't understand what you're reading. That's the problem, because you are not using the instructions that the Most High gave us. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Through thy precepts, I get what?
Understanding.
Read.
Therefore, I hate every false way.
And because I put the precepts together and I'm able to match them, I see, okay, this is not the correct way. So I'm not going to do things that way. That's false. That's inaccurate. No, that's not what it's saying. No, the Bible's not a religious book. Here's the history of it. Give me Hosea chapter 12 and verse 9.
Hosea chapter 12 and verse 9.
Read.
And I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt.
So the Lord thy God is the Most High speaking from the land of Egypt. It took us out of the land of Egypt. Read.
Will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast.
Read.
I have also spoken by the prophet, and I have multiplied visions.
The Most High said, he's spoken by the prophet, he multiplies visions. So when he speaks to a prophet, he gives him a vision. Just like Ezra, he got visions. Daniel, he got visions. John the Revelator, they got visions or dreams. Daniel got dreams. Sorry. Read.
And use similitudes.
And use what?
Similitudes.
Similitudes all throughout the visions and the dreams that we read about, especially in Revelation, especially in the book of Daniel, especially in Second Ezra and other prophecies that are in the Bible. Now let's get what a similitude is. Can you look that up for me, please, ma'am?
Mm-hmm. The quality or state of being similar to something.
The quality or state of being similar to something. Not the exact thing, but similar. You might even call it slang. Read.
A comparison between two things.
A comparison between two things. You got anything else?
A person or thing resembling someone or something else.
A person or thing resembling someone or something else. Like I said, you might call it slang. We say things loosely that we know each other know, but it's slang for what the real meaning is. Like if somebody tell you, hey, I'm at the crib. What are they telling you? Are they telling you they in the baby's crib? No. They're telling you they're at the house. They're home. Or if somebody and we use these sayings all of the time, y'all. We'll say stuff like, if we riding in the car and it's cold, hey, can you put some drawers on that window? Y'all ever heard that saying? What does that mean? It means to roll the window up, it's cold. Put some drawers on that window. We use these slangs all of the time. How's the weather? Oh, it's a little chilly. Does it mean it's I should go get a ball? No, it just means it's kind of cold out here. You might want to get a jacket. We use these type of slangs all the time. Come hell or high water. What does that mean?
No matter what.
We use these terms loosely, but y'all see that these are similar to us. Also, it's basically slang. Hope everybody's seeing this. Read that again. Verse 10.
Okay. I have also spoken by the prophet, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets.
And the Most High said he used similitudes by the ministry. That means service of the prophets. So when you read, most of the prophets had similitudes when they were given prophecies. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. And let's start unpacking these similitudes, the similitudes of these prophecies. Mm-hmm.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder,
mm-hmm.
one of the four beasts saying, Come and see.
So one of the four beasts said, come and see. Let's uncover who these beasts are. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. So this is just in one book over, y'all. We're going to start at 8, and we're going to read all the way to 10.
And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb.
So the four beasts and the four and 24 elders, it's talking about the angels, y'all. The angels of the Most High that, matter of fact, I should have got that one. Give me a second, y'all. Yeah, Archai, I got that one too. The water for Muslim band and body parts. All right, give me Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4.
And round about the throne were 4 and 20 seats. And upon the seats I saw 4 and 20 elders.
So remember when we read Revelation chapter 6. On Revelation chapter 5, it's talking about the beast and it's talking about the elders. So here in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read that again.
And round about the throne were 4 and 20 seats. And upon the seats I saw 4 and 20 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold.
These are the angels that are sitting around. And it says 4 and 24.
Four and twenty.
Meaning 24. So 24 angels sitting round about, around the Most High. And you got 12 of those elders to patrol the day and 12 of them to patrol the night, which makes up a 24-hour time period. These are the angels. They're the Most High's eyes. This is why the Most High is omnipresent. He's everywhere at every time. They're doing their job. Reading on in verse 5.
And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God.
The 7 spirits are the 7 angels of the Most High. And it also usually refers to them as the four beasts, y'all. So those four beasts that it's talking about in Revelation the 6th chapter are the 4 archangels. Those 4 archangels being Michael, Raphael, Uriel, and Gabriel. Those are the 4 archangels.
What's the correlation between 7 spirits and God?
So it's 7 altogether. It's 7 archangels, but I'm only familiar with 4. I don't know the names of the other 3. I'm giving y'all the names of the ones that I know. I've looked them up before, but the names always change. So it's a lot of speculation on who the other 3 are, and I don't want to even dabble into that. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. And then the Bible says prove all things, so I go by the ones that we can prove, because you can read about the archangel, Michael. You can read about him in Daniel, the 10th chapter, the 11th chapter, and the 12th chapter. You can read about Raphael, the angel of healing, in the book of Tobit. You can read about the angel Uriel in the book of Ezra, 2nd Ezra in the Apocrypha, and you can read about the Gabriel, the messenger angel, in the Gospels, specifically in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, I believe he's in. So those are the ones that I know. Like I said, when I look it up, the other ones, I ain't seen them in the scriptures. So I can't validate that. So it's all in all is 7, but only 4 to the names that I know. All right? So going back, say again.
Is it 6 and 1?
Yeah, 6 and 1.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder.
Mm-hmm.
One of the four beasts saying, come and see.
So one of the four beasts, four archangels, or 4 of the 7, said, come and see. Read.
And I saw, and behold, a white horse, mm-hmm. and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him.
Uh-huh.
And he went forth conquering and to conquer.
And to conquer. All right, so we got to unpack this. So let's deal with, first of all, it says, behold, a white horse. So let's break down what this white is symbolic of. Let's go to Revelation 19, verse 8.
And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white.
Clean and what?
And white.
Clean and white. Why? Read.
For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
So the fine linen, which is what color?
White.
White is the what?
The righteousness of saints.
So white has to deal with righteousness. So going back to Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 2 again.
And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
So white, once again, representing righteousness. Now, hold this and let's get Psalm chapter 51 and verse 7. Let's get another example of white representing righteousness. Psalms 51 and 7.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Mm-hmm.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
You shall be what?
Whiter than snow.
Whiter than snow, meaning clean, but emphasizing being white, which represents what? Righteousness. Righteousness. I hope everybody sees this. So going back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2 again.
And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
A white horse. So once again, white represents righteousness. Right? We got two examples of that. But then it talks about a horse. So this horse is white. So a righteous horse or a righteous power. So hold this and let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 7. And excuse me for a second, y'all. Y'all can get that, and I'll be right back. I need to take a break real quick. All right, y'all, we are back. I hope everybody is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we got to get this to explain Revelations when it talks about that horse. So we already found out that this horse is a white horse, and white represents righteousness. Now read this.
There is an evil which I have seen under the sun,
mm-hmm.
as an error which proceeded from the ruler.
So he says this is wrong. This is an error. Read.
Folly is set in great dignity,
mm-hmm.
and the rich sit in low place.
The rich sit in low place. Read.
I have seen servants upon horses.
What did he say?
I have seen servants upon horses.
This is backwards, is what he's saying. I've seen servants upon horses. Ain't no servant supposed to be on a horse. The servant is supposed to be the one down with the reins in his hand, maneuvering the horse, while the person that's in control is riding the horse. Read on.
And princes walking as servants upon the earth.
He's seen princes walking while they servants is on top of the horse. To be on a horse is in a position of authority, in the position of power. So this white horse represents a righteous power. No different than like now, how do they judge a horse's, a car's power? By its horse power. All right? I hope y'all seeing this. Once again, words we use loosely. You judge how fast the car go by how many horsepower the car got or how powerful the car is. Judged by his horsepower. All right, so going back to Revelation chapter 6 again, and verse 2.
Mm-hmm. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
So a white horse or a righteous power. Now let's get Revelation 19 and verse 1. Told y'all, a lot of precepts. Got to put them together.
19:1.
Mm-hmm.
And after these things, I heard a great voice, people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God.
Mm-hmm.
For true and righteous are his judgments.
Mm-hmm.
For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication.
What verse is that?
It's 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted Revelation 19 and 11.
Okay.
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse.
A what?
White horse.
Once again, white representing righteousness, the horse representing power. Read.
And he that sat upon him was called faithful.
So this is the writer. He was called faithful. Read.
And true.
Read.
And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war.
And in righteousness, he does judge and make war. And this is actually talking about Christ. But the point I wanted to bring out is how this horse represents power. Hope everybody's seeing this. Now, give me, let's go back to Revelations chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in verse what?
2.
So let's read that verse again.
And I saw and behold a white horse.
Mm-hmm. So a white, a righteous power.
And he that sat on him had a bow.
Uh-huh.
And a crown was given unto him.
Mm-hmm.
And he went forth conquering and to conquer.
So this is actually talking about Christ. This is talking about Christ. And we're going to find out that this later on extended to us, to the children of Israel. We got to prove this. Let's get Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. Because it says he had a crown that was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, in order to conquer anything, that requires war. You got to go to war, man. There's going to be some people that ain't trying to get their power up. They ain't trying to get their territory or their land up. It's like the movie State Property when Beanie Siegel was rolling up on people with the pistolas out, with the whistles out, talking about get down or lay down. where you have to be a man of war in order to conquer. Read this.
Exodus 15:3. The Lord is a man of war.
Christ is a man of war. Read.
The Lord is his name.
Give me Matthew 10:34. The Most High is a man of war. Yahweh Shai is a man of war. Christ is a man of war. Read.
Matthew 10:34.
Think not that I am come to send peace on earth.
This is Christ speaking. Read.
I came not to send peace, but a sword.
You came to send what?
A sword.
A sword. A sword is meant to be for going to war. It's meant to kill people. I hope y'all are seeing this. Now, let's get Revelation 19:11. You're going to keep proving that Christ is that man of war.
Thank you.
Yep. Let me catch up with you. Read.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True.
Uh-huh.
And in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
Read. And he makes what?
War.
He makes war. Christ, man of war, just like his father. Read.
His eyes were as a flame of fire.
Uh-huh.
And on his head were many crowns.
Right, just like that flame, that same flame of fire that it talked about in Revelation 1. Read.
And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
Uh-huh. And verse 13 brings it on home to us. No, it's talking about Christ. Read.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood.
Killing people. He's a man of war. Read.
And his name is called the Word of God.
His name is called what?
The Word of God.
Who's the Word of God, y'all? Let's go to St. John. We're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to jump down to verse 14.
St. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
Verse 14. That's it. We're going to jump down to verse 14 now. So in the beginning, we find out was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Read.
And the Word was made flesh.
And the Word was made flesh. Read.
And dwelt among us.
Uh-huh.
And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
The only begotten of the Father is talking about Christ, the only begotten Son. Y'all see this, right?
Full of grace and truth.
Full of grace and truth. And we know from Revelation 19:11 that he's full of war, too. Y'all see this, right? Mm-hmm. Uncovering verse 13 where it says that this name that was going to be given, we don't know the name, but we do know he was called the Word of God, all right, which is Yahweh Shai, which is Christ. So Christ being a man of war. And going back to Revelation 6:2.
And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow.
So righteous power, then he had a bow. A bow is an instrument of war. Read.
And a crown was given unto him,
mm-hmm.
and he went forth conquering. And to conquer.
And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, once again, this is talking about Christ, but that also extended to the children of Israel. I'm going to prove it. Exodus 6:26. Because what we're about to read in the book of Revelations is in chronological order. Mm-hmm. Keeping that in mind, it's in chronological order. You got it?
Exodus 6:26.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Read.
These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their army.
According to their what?
Their army.
So the Most High brought us out of Egypt in a what?
Army.
In an army. What do armies do? They go to war. They conquer stuff. This is why the Most High gave us these instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1. Can we please read that?
When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee.
Now, this is before we came into the land. He's given us instructions on what we're going to do when we get into the land.
The Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou.
So he's letting us know who all was there, and he said he casting these people out. Read.
And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them.
I told you, what does the army do? We'll go to war, conquer stuff. This is our army, the army of Israel, coming out of Egypt, going to conquer the land that the Most High promised our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was going to be done by murking people, by murdering. This is how you conquer. Read.
Neither shalt thou make marriages with them.
Mm-hmm.
Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son.
Read.
For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods.
Mm-hmm.
So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you.
And this is the warning. Don't serve other deities. Don't fall into idolatry. Read.
And destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire.
Because these nations were, and as well as the rest of the nations, are insignificant to the Most High. Read.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God had chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people.
Mm-hmm.
For ye were the fewest of all people.
We'll read the verse 9.
But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations.
To a thousand generations, I quoted this scripture earlier, because I believe it's in Psalms also. But the point I want to bring out is that, yes, in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, it is talking about Christ. But this would extend to us in our conquering phase once we came out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is a good place to stop, so I'm going to stop here. And we're going to pick up here next week, Lord willing, y'all. We're going to get into unpacking the rest of Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2. Remember, we just still at verse 2, y'all. And we still got a lot of unpacking to do in just that one verse. So this chapter is going to take us a minute. But thanks for everybody tuning in to Wadam Shabbos for hooking up the broadcast. I hope everybody got some edification out of this class. If you have any questions, man, regarding this class or any other topic, or if you just want to rap to a brother, you can hit me up at echo 314-482-9110. And until next week, Lord willing, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Tazapa.
Tuesday.
Tazapa.
Tuesday.
Tazapa.
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
And with that, y'all, we're going to say shalom.